The same material in a different package, folks, has a different value. Keep that in mind.
StayAllDay.com.
Free's exceptional.
Work on your game.
I like the approach.
Work on your fucking game.
Everybody has, or relates to what Dre's saying in a different way.
Work on your game.
I like the way he thinks.
Work on your fucking game.
I like the frameworks that he's put together.
Work on your game.
And I would highly recommend it to anybody that's trying to work on their game.
Work on your fucking game.
I think it's a good approach. It's a different approach, too.
Hey, you, work on your game.
Gave me something really good.
Work on your game. DreAllDay.com.
And his philosophy makes a lot of sense.
Not only work on your game, perfect your craft.
Work on your game.
He knows how to communicate in such a fabulous way.
I can't say it enough.
Work on your game. You are now tuned into the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you've expected to achieve has yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative. That is the go-getter energy that moves any one of us, including yourself, to go and make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. And then we put all this together into a series of frameworks, approaches, insights, strategies, and techniques all underneath the umbrella of one unified philosophy that is called Work on Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day, and welcome to the show. And today's topic is how to be a creative borrower. Now, as I am recording this, I don't know if you all can even hear this. Maybe if you're watching on YouTube, on video, you definitely can hear it. But if you're listening to audio, you may or may not be able to hear this. There is some drilling going on like two floors above me, which was in defense of the management here in my building. It was announced ahead of time they were going to be doing this, but we still got work to do. So I am still recording this episode. Hopefully my amazing audio team who works on the audio side of this did such a great job that y'all don't even notice. But if you're watching on YouTube, you definitely can hear this noise. We are still going to continue. The show must go on either way. So we are going to continue to record and hopefully still sounds how it's supposed to sound as we get through this. Before we get into this topic, let me give y'all two things. Number one, daily motivation text, when we get it sent out again, is going to give you a message to have you focus, sharp, and on point every single day to start your day. Also, the Monday motivation, which comes out every week, doing the same thing. Text me at my number, 305-384-6894. As soon as we get that back working properly again, I'll get back to everybody I need to get back to. I'm probably going to have a million messages I need to respond to. And we will, of course, have the messages going out consistently to all recipients. Secondly, Work on Your Game University is the place where I do all my coaching. If you would like to work with me directly, if you're ready to take your game to a higher level, you're looking to be a top 2% performer in your space when it comes to your performance, when it comes to people you serve, when it comes to the money that you make, go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. You can plug into our process. We have a 4-part framework based around mindset, strategy, systems, and accountability. And most importantly, you get to work directly with me as your coach on where you're at, where you want to go, getting around and over and through the things that may be in your way right now so we can get you to the outcomes, the life, and the business that you want. That is all at workonyourgameuniversity.com. And again, as I said, folks, you may or may not hear that intermittent sound of drilling. It's allegedly two floors above me, but that's a loud-ass drill. I can hear it all the way down here. But anyway, we are going to continue. The show goes on regardless. So this topic, how to be a creative borrower, is what we're talking about here today. Understand that nothing that you see or hear in the world today is completely brand new. Now, it doesn't mean everybody who's putting stuff out is copying from others. I mean, including myself, I'm not copying from anybody. I've created more content than damn near anybody you can name. So if I'm copying from them, then that kind of doesn't add up. If anything, they're copying from me. But the whole point is nothing is completely brand new because all of us get our ideas from somewhere. It's not like they just pop up out of nowhere for us. We get our ideas, we borrow from someone or something that came before us, and maybe we create a new version of it. Or maybe something that even exists right now. We just create our version of a thing that somebody else does. Like you could say something a certain way, and then I can say that's a good idea. I like the concept, and I'll say it in my way. So we are all building on top of each other. And the best artists out there are simply those who borrow the most creatively from the best sources and find the best ways to remix things to create what we all call new material. New products and new ideas. Again, we call it new because technically it is new, but the source material is not new. We're creating something new, but the material from which we created it is not new. So today we're going to talk about how you can borrow most creatively in ways that will best help you produce results. So I've done episodes on the show where we talked about the artist versus the entrepreneur, which was episode number 2612. Are you an artist or an entrepreneur? Where I juxtapose these two positions. I drew a clear line of delineation between them At the same time, you can be an artist and an entrepreneur. I talked about that in episode 2790. So I gave you both ways of looking at this. Today, I'm gonna give you another way of looking at this because I am talking about artistry here in today's episode. And understand that even when you're an entrepreneur making money, your processes for making money and the things that you do to make money and the strategies that you use to make money are part of your artistry because there are different ways of doing it. There are a million different ways to make money. Whichever ways that you use, somebody's used it before, somebody thought of that before, somebody tried some version of that before, you are remixing it and coming up with your way, or hey, maybe you're just straight lifting it and using it yourself for your own purposes. So you can be an artist and an entrepreneur at the same time. Don't take the title of artist to be a negative thing because, listen, I have artist in me. I mean, to create this show, this is artistry to come up with the content that I come up with for this show. At the same time, the aim is to let my artistry lead into and feed into the entrepreneurship. That's it. Let's get into this. Point number one, topic once again, is how to be a creative borrower. Number one, take proven ideas from one place and move them to another place. This is the best way to be a creative borrower. So in this episode, and this is not always the case on this show, but in this episode, this first point is the most important point. You want to take an idea that has already proven to be successful, and you're just moving it from point A to point B. So it's working over here in New York. Now let's see if we can make it work in Boston. It's working in Boston. Let's make it work in Baltimore. Working in Baltimore, let's make it work in Philadelphia. That's what I mean. This is a skill that all successful marketers should have and should continue to nurture. You want to be successful in anything. You could take the word marketer out of there. You could be a successful athlete, successful marketer, successful artist, successful anything. Fill in the blank. You should have this skill and you should continue to develop this skill. And the way you develop the skill is by simply paying attention to what's working. And it doesn't have to be something that's working in your space. Look at what's working, period, anywhere in any space and ask yourself, how can I take that thing from this space and move it over to another space where it may work as well? Because so many people and entities are out there marketing and selling themselves and their things these days. The last thing you want to do with your marketing is to let it look and sound like everybody else's. And the good news is you don't have to. You don't have to let yourself look and sound like everybody else's because there are so many different choices out there for you to choose amongst when it comes to how you want to present yourself, because you got a lot. You can just look at everything that's out there. I'm sure you can find something that would be unique to the audience that you want to serve. Now, the audience that you're serving right now, there's certain things they've seen before, but there's a bunch of stuff they have never seen before. It's your job to figure out what they haven't seen so that your thing is unique enough as to get their attention and keep their attention. Because if what you share is not unique enough, then it may be filtered out through their mind because they feel like they've seen it before. So their mind will automatically delete it. And that's the way the human brain works. The brain is an automatic deletion machine. We can't pay conscious attention to everything that we come across because there are too many things to pay attention to. We would be mentally overwhelmed and we would never get any focused work completed. So the brain automatically, unconsciously, deletes a lot of things if we feel like there's nothing unique about it or nothing that is pertinent or nothing that is relevant to us specifically. So you need to make sure that you stay out of that spam filter, so to speak, of your audience's brain, and you go into the main inbox, if you follow that metaphor. So a simple idea is to go and identify things that are working in location A or space A or business A. Then you take it and you move the concept over to location B or space B or business B and apply the same concept to what you're doing. Because while that idea may be tried and true, it may be even normal and maybe even somewhat used up in location A, it'll be brand new if you took that same concept and applied it in location B. And it's brand new and novel when you bring it over there, even though it's old over there. It's maybe old in one place, but it's brand new in a different place. So people at location B have never seen or heard of this thing before. So understand that creativity, folks, does not mean you need to come up with a bunch of brand new ideas on your own while sitting alone in a basement in silence, trying to figure everything out by yourself. All you got to do is look around and other people are providing you an education as to how you can take something that's working in one space and start making it work in another space. I'll give you a couple examples that you can use here. So in hip hop music, in rap music, there was a time back in the 1990s, maybe the second half of the 1990s, from maybe about 95 to about 2000, that a lot of music DJs, they started creating these things called mixtapes. And what a mixtape was, well, actually where the mixtape started, it was before the 90s, but before the late 90s, there were mixtapes, and a mixtape would usually just be a blend of a bunch of different songs just mixed together. Any of you ever been to a nightclub And you know how at a nightclub, it's not like one song ends and another song starts. It's almost like the songs blend together. So as one song is getting towards its end, another song just comes in. It's not like there's a gap. If you're listening to music on your phone or on your tablet, for example, like you're listening to Spotify, one song ends and then another song starts, but you can notice the gap between the songs. But DJs would do, if you've ever been to a nightclub, again, that they blend the songs together. So you never notice that one song ended before the next one begins because they all get blended together. And mixtape DJs would always make these mixes of all these songs together that you could basically take that mix of songs, the 60 minutes of blended music, and you could play that at your house party without hiring a DJ, and it would give you an hour straight of music with no breaks. So that was always a thing in DJing and music. And what happened was some DJs got creative and they decided, well, why don't we use the mixtape as a way to basically introduce the listening audience to new music from either a new artist or an established artist, but it's a new song that we don't know about from this artist. So what ended up happening, long story short, is that a lot of rappers would take a new song that they had that they hadn't got on the radio yet, because this is a time when if you need to get a new song out there and you want the people to know about it, you got it on the radio. But like I said, you couldn't get the song on the radio yet because there was a lot of competition for the radio. You would take the music instead to a mixtape DJ, or the mixtape DJ would go get the music one way or another. It would end up on this mixtape DJ's tape or CD. And it started with tapes and eventually morphed onto CDs. And what would happen is an artist, when they had a new song, instead of trying to go to the radio, they would go to the mixtape DJs first. And mixtapes started to be the most popular thing. So those of you who are old enough, especially those of you who are from big cities in America, you know, especially on the East Coast where I come from the city of Philadelphia, that the mixtapes were a big deal. You would go to music stores, or you would go to some guy standing on a corner somewhere with a bunch of basically bootlegged, pirated CDs and tapes, and you would buy the new mixtapes from certain DJs. There were DJs like DJ Clue was probably the most popular one. There was DJ Envy, who works on a Breakfast Club now, but he was a mixtape DJ when he first came out. And there are many others. Cutmaster C, DJ K-Slay, Funkmaster Flex was involved for a little bit of time. Eventually, it was so many people were getting involved in this because mixtapes were a very popular thing to do. And the whole thing was, this is where not only were the artists doing it themselves, but the record labels, instead of trying to send their music to the radio and get their music played on the radio, which didn't always work, they would send their music to the mixtape DJs because either way, it was getting out to the listening public, and the listening public were the people who bought the records. I'm sharing all that to tell you the biggest part. What happened is some artist got the brilliant idea. Well, instead of just sending one song to a mixtape DJ so that they can play my one song on their tape with 20 other songs from 20 other artists, why don't I just make a mixtape with just all my own songs on one mixtape? I'll just make my own mixtape. So instead of the mixtape being one DJ giving you 20 different artists new records, I'll just be the artist A. I'll make a whole mixtape of artist A new songs. So a couple of artists who really took advantage of this, and the first one that I say really the biggest advantage of this and used it to catapult his career would be 50 Cent. And again, those of you old enough to remember when 50 Cent first came back out, because he was actually out, then he got shot. Everybody thought he was gone, then he came back. And when he came back, all 50 Cent was doing was putting out mixtapes. But instead of sending one song to a mixtape DJ, 50 Cent would make a whole mixtape of just him, or him and his cohorts and his group that he called the G-Unit, and they would just make mixtapes. It would just be called the G-Unit mixtape, 50 Cent and Friends, and they would just make a bunch of songs that were not going to be officially released, most of them anywhere. They would just make records, put them on the mixtapes, and they would distribute the mixtapes far and wide, and they didn't even try to make money from these. And if you read Robert Greene's book that he did with 50 Cent called The 50th Law, he describes this whole process. 50 wanted to put the music out and didn't even want to make money from it because he understood that his goal was not to make money from his mixtape, but to build buzz and get his name so excitable and with the listening audience that some record company would want to sign him to a new record deal, which happened. He ended up signing with these two guys that you may have heard of called Eminem and Dr. Dre. And then 50 Cent's career, you know, became history that we all know. The whole point is 50 Cent took the concept of the mixtape that the DJs were doing with a bunch of artists, and he moved it from point A to point B and said, why not just make a mixtape with just me and just make all my songs on one tape? And he made a bunch of mixtapes. And those of you, again, who remember the 50 Cent era when he was first coming up, which is probably from when I'm recording this, we're talking a little over 20 years ago. there were a bunch of 50 Cent G-Unit mixtapes. These guys probably made 20, 30 different mixtapes of all just 50 Cent G-Unit and all his friends. And this is the whole concept of moving the idea from point A to point B. Another artist that did that a little bit after that would be Cam'ron. He had a group called The Diplomats, also from New York. Later on, a few years later, you had an artist like Lil Wayne, who's from the South. He did the same thing, where he took that whole concept of putting out mixtapes with just him by himself, and he really made himself very popular. Lil Wayne was probably the most popular rapper. I'll say 50 Cent was probably the most popular rapper around that 2002 to 2004 range. Cam'ron and Diplomats came a little bit after that, and then Lil Wayne probably a couple years after that. So we're talking that 2006, 7, 8 range. Lil Wayne made himself the most popular rapper in that time period, and they all did it the same way, through taking the concept that it used to be the DJ doing it, then the artist starts doing it themselves. This is a concept of taking the idea that is working over here, and then let's take the same thing and let's just do it over there. That's one way that this can apply. And while I'm going through more of the points here, I may think of another example that I want to give you. But the whole idea here, we're still on point number one, topic once again is how to be a creative borrower, is finding new ways to apply things that already exist. And all you have to do is just look around. You don't really have to come up with anything new. Again, look around and look at what is already working in life, period, and just ask yourself, what if we took this thing that's working here and we did it over here? What would happen? What if we took this thing that's working this way and we just did it that way? And what would happen? I talked about this, and I'll give you another example here. When I talked about, it was episode number 2414, where I talked about, are you doing business CrossFit? That was the question, where I was kind of using CrossFit as a way to criticize entrepreneurs who weren't really paying attention to the bottom line. It wasn't the diss of CrossFit, but just look at CrossFit itself. What is CrossFit? CrossFit took the concept, and I gave CrossFit a compliment when I did that episode, by the way, and you CrossFitters listening to this. CrossFit took the concept of all the stuff that we do to prepare for athletic competition, like lifting weights, doing squats, running, doing cardio, all the stuff you do to get ready to play a sport. Name a sport: football, baseball, basketball, hockey, tennis, dance, whatever. We do all kinds of workouts, right, to get ready for those sports. CrossFit took the workouts that we did to get ready for the game, and they turned the workouts into the game itself. That's a beautiful idea. That's exactly what I'm talking about. They noticed, okay, athletes do all this stuff to get ready for working out. What if we make the getting ready the workout itself and turn the getting ready into a competition? And that's exactly what they did. As a matter of fact, about 3 weeks ago from when I'm recording this, it usually happens in January and here in Miami, there's an event called Wodapalooza, W-O-D, Wodapalooza. And W-O-D stands for Workout of the Day, which is the common term that they use in CrossFit that basically tells you when you get to the CrossFit gym, here's the workout that we're going to do, because CrossFit is a group activity. So again, CrossFit is a brilliant business idea. And one of the reasons that is brilliant is not because someone came up with something new. All they did was take something that already existed and they said, why don't we just move that from here to here? Instead of making it the beginning of the game, why don't we make it the game itself? And that's exactly what they did. And here we are. CrossFit is an extremely popular sport. I've seen the Wodapalooza. I've even gone and watched. It is a very, very popular event. There is a whole ecosystem, a whole community around CrossFit. And as a matter of fact, I know a bunch of athletes that I knew who played a sport. I know track and field athletes, basketball players, and football players who have played those sports, even at the highest levels. When they stopped playing that sport, then they moved over to doing CrossFit because they still want some competition. Because athletes, I mean, it's just how our mind works. We need something to do physically. We need a reason to do it, not just working out to be in shape. And myself, I went to the boxing gym and I run in 10Ks, and I know athletes who now they go to CrossFit and they are actually out there competing, like trying to win medals and stuff. And so again, great idea. Give you another example that is more literal from what I'm saying, moving from location to location. So one of my favorite novelties, actually my favorite novelty, is this thing called Italian ice, or where we're from up in the Northeast, we call it water ice. Some of you may call it Italian ice, but it's the same thing. Basically shaved ice that is flavored, but when it's made the right way, it tastes great. And you can drink it through a straw. It's not like this really hard ice that you got to use a spoon for. So where I'm from, as I said, we call it water ice, and it's very popular in the northeastern part of America, such as in New York, Philadelphia. And for the last few years, however, there's a water ice company called Rita's Water Ice. I used to work there when I lived in Philadelphia, but they now have locations in South Florida. And the reason why the franchisees started building locations down here in South Florida is because they realized not that they were going to turn South Florida onto water ice, even though I'm sure there are some South Floridians who have now tried water ice and now they like it. The reason that they did it, because I talked to some of the franchisees, they actually told me this. The reason that we moved down here to South Florida, Dre, is because we realized that a lot of people who are from New York and Pennsylvania and New Jersey, they migrate from up there to down here in South Florida. So all we did was strategically put our locations in the neighborhoods where we know that those, as they, we call them snowbirds. So not really, a snowbird is like when you're visiting, but I live here, so I guess I wouldn't be a snowbird. But these people who leave from the Northeast and they come move down to South Florida, we put our locations where those people live because we know they are going to know what water ice is. They'll buy it, and hopefully they got some friends down here, and they'll bring more people in. And last I checked, those South Florida Rita's water ice locations seem to be doing pretty good. I mean, they're still open last time I checked. So not only will we buy it, but we turn on the locals to it. And here I am promoting it right now. So thus, water ice is becoming more popular and maybe more ubiquitous down here in South Florida. Again, I don't know the actual details of how they're doing business-wise, but as I said, last I checked, their locations are still open and I've seen a few more getting open. One thing they don't have down here in South Florida, as a side note, is, and this is an interesting thing, I don't know anyone who's living in South Florida in the food business, you can help me out with this. They say the people in South Florida don't eat soft pretzels. And this is one thing that has perturbed me the entire time I've been in South Florida. I've lived in South Florida for going on 16 years now. It is very hard to find soft pretzels down here in South Florida. It's hard. It's not impossible, but it's hard to find soft pretzels. People simply don't eat that stuff. Like Bavarian pretzels, you can find at a few restaurants here and there, but I'm not talking about I got to sit down at a restaurant and order a pretzel with cheese. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if I could just stop at a store and just let me get three pretzels for $8 or something like that. You can't find that in South Florida. And I talk to, whenever I go to the water ice places, I ask them, why do you all not sell pretzels? Because in Philly, where I'm from, I'll go to Rita's Water Ice. I will get me a large water ice and a pretzel. That's my meal. Not a, really a meal, but you know what I mean. I get a pretzel and a large water ice. But down here in South Florida, I get the water ice and I'm like, y'all have pretzels and nobody sells pretzels. And I always ask them, why do y'all not sell pretzels? And they say, down here in Florida, people do not eat pretzels. So Floridians, y'all got to start eating pretzels so that I can buy them when I go to Rita's Water Ice. That's a side note. That's an idea that has not been moved from location A to location B because it simply has not been accepted. So let me give you another example. Do all you remember during the COVID situation, the scamdemic, as I call it, and I did not mispronounce that, how many restaurants in a desperate attempt to stay open, because many restaurants were in dire straits during COVID because nobody was going out. Nobody wanted to be around other people and restaurants were in trouble, but they needed people to come to the damn restaurants because they couldn't keep those places open without people coming in and spending money. So notice what restaurants did. Any of you remember what they did? They stopped giving you a menu when you sat down at the table. And instead, they would put a QR code on the table or a little stand on the table. Or they would just tape the QR code to the table and they would say, all right, take your phone out, scan the QR code. And now the whole menu is right there on your phone. Everybody remember restaurants doing that? Well, guess what? Y'all notice something? A lot of restaurants are still doing it. I was just at a restaurant down here in Miami. I'm recording this on a Monday, but on this past Saturday, I was in a restaurant and they have gone back to regular menus. They actually hand you the menu and you hand it back to them. But I've also been at restaurants where you just sit down and there's a QR code that's like taped to the table, permanently taped to the table, and there is no menu. They never handed it to you. So some restaurants went back to the old way and some restaurants have stayed with the new way. But the point of it was because a lot of people were afraid that they couldn't touch anything that might be contaminated and they might get COVID from touching the menu, which I think has been dispelled. You pretty much don't get COVID that way. At least who the hell knows? Let's not even get into that. But many people felt safer looking at a menu on their device. This is the point, because people felt safer, whether actually safer or not is besides the point, I suppose. They felt safer looking at a menu on a device rather than touching something that someone else may have touched while being sick. I guess nobody considers that, you know, people are still touching menus now and they're probably sick and those menus rarely get washed. I worked in restaurants before. So any of you go to a restaurant, you touch a menu, all right, wash your hands. Anyway, now notice again, many restaurants never went back to physical menus. You just scan the code, it's on the table and there you go. And you order your food from there. So they took an idea that was used in an emergency situation and now they're using it even though the emergency is essentially over. Let me get you one more. All right, in the music industry, I already told you about this one. So actually, this is not another one. I already told you this. I stepped on this myself. So with the mixtapes with the artists, I already brought that up. So I'll give you another example. Every episode of this show, I get transcribed into text. So every word that I'm saying here will eventually be transcribed into text and put into a physical book called the Black Book. And we ship that out every month to our members of our university. That is a form of a mixtape, because I'm basically taking everything I've created, I'm transcribing it, taking it from the audio form to the textual form, putting it into a book format, and now I'm giving you something additional that comes as a perk of being a member of Work On Your Game University. And we're putting that material in a different format, again, which gives people a different experience. So the same material in a different package, folks, has a different value. Keep that in mind. Despite all the YouTube, basketball, even this show, I started as a writer and I am still a prolific writer. As a matter of fact, I send out emails damn near every day. I call this the Daily Game email. I want you to get this every day to your inbox completely for free. So simply go to workonmygame.com. That's workonmygame.com and get my emails directly to your inbox every day free of charge. Again, that's workonmygame.com. You know what is the biggest thing that separates the high level performers from everyone else out there? It is not talent. It is not hard work. It is not resources. It is not knowledge. It is not skill. It is the fact that they have a process and a strategy for how to show up and give their best effort, even on the days when they don't feel like being at work. Has any of you ever had one of those days? Is any of you having one of those days right now? That day is called the third day. We put a label on it and we describe exactly what it is in my new book called The Third Day, The Decision That Separates the Pros from the Amateurs. In this book, I will not only describe to you what the third day is, but I will help you create a formula for yourself for you to show up and give your best effort, even on those days when you don't even feel like going to work. In that book, you're going to become a professional and no longer be an amateur. I'll give you a free copy of it, as a matter of fact. All you have to do is cover the shipping. Just go to thirddaybook.com. Again, thirddaybook.com. Moving on to point number two. We're talking here today about how to be a creative borrower. I gave you a ton of examples there in point number one. Number two, keep your mind open to materials, ideas, and information that are from places that you and your peers may not normally be looking. This is the key to being able to do point number one is point number two. You got to keep your mind open to things that you don't normally look at. And this is why to be a creative borrower, you can't just pay attention to your myopic world and your space. So if you're a book author who writes nonfiction books about romance, do not limit yourself to only looking at other fiction authors writing books about romance. You need to look at books that are about science. You need to read books about nonfiction. You need to read books about business. And you need to look at people who are on YouTube. Look at people who are just on TikTok. Look at people who are on Facebook that don't even write books and ask yourself, where can I take an idea from one of these spaces that has seemingly nothing to do with what I'm doing and apply it to what I'm doing? All right. This is how you can be a creative borrower. You got to have a creative input coming in. Can't be creative at what you're doing if all your inputs look the same and sound the same. So you got to be getting input from all different places. This is one of the reasons why I told you that when it comes to social media, my discipline is to not scroll on social media, and I do not scroll on social media. However, there is one app on which I will scroll and I will engage, and I do engage in conversation with random people on random subjects, and that is the app called X, formerly known as Twitter. The reason that I do it is because it gives me ideas about what is happening in the world, what people are talking about, how people are responding to certain things, and some of the just the illogical arguments and illogical beliefs that people have about some things that are just complete nonsense. But I need to have that input because it gives me source material for creating output like this show right here. Now, everybody understand that? This is one of the reasons why I do it. But it is a discipline. I don't do that on all the other apps. I don't do it on Facebook or TikTok or Instagram or anywhere else. I do it on X because that's the place where I find it best gives me the material. So when I'm scrolling through X and commenting and going back and forth with people, that is actually part of my work. I'm doing it for a reason, not just for a leisure activity. So this here, point number two, is where you step out of your specific space and you train your mind to look for and be open to ideas that come from places that you generally, usually, would never even have considered to look at for any reason. Now you're looking at them on purpose. If you're a doctor with your own private practice and you see something that a plumber is doing that you can utilize in your business, take it. But you got to look at what the plumbers are doing in order to look at it. So you can't look at plumbers and thumb your nose at them and say, well, I'm looking at a plumber. I'm a doctor. No, that's the exact reason why you need to look at a plumber, because maybe something he's doing that you could do. If you're a swimmer, you may notice a training technique that a jiu-jitsu fighter is using that can make you faster in the pool. But you got to be looking. If you sell things offline, you may notice that something someone's doing online could help your business or vice versa. For example, here in Work On Your Game University, we have members here who have brick and mortar businesses. people who sell clothes, people who do alterations, and they have offline businesses, and most of their business happens offline. They still come and work with someone like me, even though I built a lot of my business online. Why? Because I have some ideas and I have some insights and concepts and strategies of things that work online that work just as well offline. And people who do most of their work online are also members of our university, because I can take things that I see working offline and show people who do all their business online, hey, we could take this offline concept and apply it to your online business. Or we could take the online business you're doing and let's do some of this offline stuff. It will help you do more business. So this is why, again, to be a creative borrower, you got to be looking at things that you otherwise may never have even noticed or thought about or considered. The only way you can take advantage of this strategy, folks, is you have to lift your head up out of your specific area and look around in areas that, again, you normally would not focus, pay attention to, or notice in the first place. Have you ever wondered why so many people have big goals and big dreams for themselves and they work hard every single day, yet they never reach their goals? You ever wondered about that? I have, and I found out the reason why this happens is because most people never ask themselves a key third question, which is, who do I need to be while I'm doing what I'm doing so that I can have what I want to have? You see, if you never fix your mindset and the way that you're thinking about a situation and the way you think about yourself and the way you see yourself in the mirror, then it doesn't matter what you do and it doesn't matter what you want. You will never get there because you simply have an inaccurate formula. I wrote the book called The Mirror of Motivation, which addresses this first question, who do I need to be? And then when you answer that question, then when you do what you need to do, it will produce the outcomes of you having what you want to have. If that sounds like it might be the missing link in your process, and let me let you know, it is the missing link in your process. Go to mirrorofmotivation.com. All you do is cover the shipping, and I'm going to give you a free copy of that book physically mailed to your doorstep. Again, mirrorofmotivation.com. So you can be who you need to be, then do what you need to do, and then you're going to have what you want to have in your life. mirrorofmotivation.com. Point number three. Today's topic, once again, is how to be a creative borrower. Number three, brainstorm creative ways of applying things that you find, hear, or know. So just because you heard of something that seems interesting, now you got to figure out how to apply it. Now, how can I use this? What can I do with this information? All right, I see that people have done this. How can I use it? So as I said, you see how the rappers went from seeing a DJ would make a mixtape and they would try to get their song on a mixtape. Instead, somebody said, well, why not just make a mixtape? Is this all me? So I'm not sharing the space with everybody else. But somebody had to come up with that idea. See, somebody had to come up with that thought in order for it to even happen. See, when you see things that are working well in one area, the question you have to ask yourself is, how could I possibly use this in my area? How could I use this? Notice the wording of that question. When you ask yourself a how question, what you're doing is challenging your brain to actually do its job and think. But you have to ask the question so it can go into thinking mode. It will always do what you ask it to do, but you have to ask the right question. So when you see things that are working well in one area, that's the question. How could I make this work? Or if you had to use it in your area, how would you do it? That's another good question you can ask yourself. If I had to apply this in my business, how would I do it? That's an amazing question. You will come up with some ideas. Even if you don't do them, it'll get your brain thinking in a creative way, which is what you want. And the more you can condition your brain to think in a creative way, the higher the probability that your brain will give you a creative idea when you actually need one. These questions are challenging your brain to think and come up with ideas. And this is why I suggest that you adopt the practice of coming up with 10 ideas per day, even if your ideas are trash. Why? Because as you condition your brain to craft ideas, eventually it will have some good ones, eventually some useful ones. You come up with 10 ideas a day, that's 3,650 ideas per year. All right, do you think maybe 10 of those ideas might be good? How about one every month? Think you come up with one good idea a month, 12 ideas out of 3,650? You think 12 of them could be actionable and useful? I think you could probably do a lot better than that. And if you ever need an idea in a pinch, you want your brain conditioned to come up with ideas so that you are not like, damn, I need an idea, but I don't have one right now. You want your brain conditioned to come up with stuff so you can use it when you need it and you're not just calling on it in an emergency and then it's not ready. All right, so it's kind of like your body. If you work out consistently, then you need to run up a flight of stairs. You need to run away from a dog. You want your body in shape already, so it's used to running away, not you're running for the first time in 10 years and then you need 30 days off before you can move again because you haven't run a mile in, again, a decade. So when your body and your mind, let's just say your mind, is conditioned to come up with stuff and conditioned to think creatively, then it's easier for it to think creatively when you actually need it to do something rather than you just calling on to do something and you're unprepared because you haven't been pushing it to do anything up to this point. So this is why the 10 ideas per day as a discipline will help you, especially those of you who are artists, especially those of you who are creators, those of you who are creating content. You need ideas. You need content. You got to put stuff out there. I was just talking to my assistant this morning, the day that I'm recording this, and we are going to put out even more material on the social media apps than we're doing right now. We put out a good amount right now. We're putting out right now, putting out 4 or 5 posts a day when it comes to video clips, reels, status updates, things like that. We're going to put out even more than that. And the reason I'm able to put out more than that is because I created the content. I got the material. If you don't have the material, you can't do it, even if you like the idea. So you got to have the material. And where you get the materials, you got to have the inputs. Again, you don't have to be a genius to do this stuff. You just have to look around, folks. The material is out there. You just got to find it. That's it. Let's recap today's class, which is how to be a creative borrower. This is for all the artists out there, who, especially those of you who are content creators. Content is one of the easiest ways to get your name known out there these days, but you have to actually publish and you got to actually be out there to use this. Number one, take proven ideas from one place and move them to another. To do this, first of all, you got to look around and see what is a proven idea, and then you got to ask yourself the right questions. Number two, keep your mind open to materials, ideas, and information that are from places that you and your peers do not normally look. This is a great competitive advantage if you are looking in places that most of the people in your space are not looking. Everyone is in your space is looking over here at A, B, and C. You will start looking at D, E, and F, and you'll find ideas that they don't have, and you don't need to have to be smarter or better than them. You just have more creativity than them. And number three, brainstorm creative ways of applying things that you find here or no. Ask yourself a simple question. If I was to use this in my business, how would I do it? Or if I had to use this in my business, how would I do it? Those are great questions that force your brain to think, and you will come up with creative ways to use things that you come up, that you see and that you hear and that you find out. With that said, folks, make sure you text me so you're in my text community. My number's down below in the description. And make sure you go to workonyourgameuniversity.com, especially those of you who own businesses or you want to own businesses and you want to join that top 2% of performers when it comes to your performance, when it comes to your consistency, when it comes to your results, the outputs, the income that you're getting in your business. Go to workonyourgameuniversity.com, where we are helping people get to their the first years of 6 figures, consistent 6 figures in your business, and 6-figure earners getting up to 7 figures a year in your business. That is all happening at workonyourgameuniversity.com. If I described you, that is the place you need to be. workonyourgameuniversity.com. Work on your game. Dre, all day. While you are here, don't forget to text me so you can be part of my texting community, where you can ask me questions, you can share challenges with me. You are messaging me directly. You can get a direct response from me because I do read and reply to my messages. My number again, 305-384-6894. One more time, 305-384-6894. Make sure you text me, because you never know when I'm going to send a message that could be the one thing you need to hear, the one thing you need to do, the one insight you need to get that could change your life. Make sure you message me, 305-384-6894. Do you know what the number one key is for you to advance and get to a higher level from where you are right now? It is not for you to work harder, wake up earlier, or go to sleep later. No, it is for you to get the right insight. In other words, to ask yourself the right questions. These questions are usually questions that you don't have the answer to, but dealing with those questions opens the door for you getting to that next level that you want to reach. How do you get help with this? By getting coaching, by getting around other people who can see things that you don't see, who have perceptions and insights that you don't have. This is why coaching is as valuable as it is, and this is why higher level performers always invest in coaching. The best way you can do that from here is to go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. That is the only place I offer coaching, the only place I work with anyone directly. If you just go to workonyourgameuniversity.com, you can see all your options for getting involved with us and engaging and having someone coaching you so that you can take yourself to that next level, again, through insight, not just through effort. Again, it's workonyourgameuniversity.com.